lets know by signs. He lets him know by words. He lets him know by a public proclamation that he knows that Judas will betray him. Behold, this night one of you will betray me. He knows the reason of the betrayal, says Bishop Sheen, which is the bread of life, the Holy Eucharist. And in order to make it clear to Judas that he understands the reason of the betrayal, he puts his finger frequently into the cup. That was the practice of the Jews. We talked about the purification cup that would be between Christ and Judas. Many, many times he would dip his hands into the cup and dip the bread into the cup, and they would dip the bread into the same cup. And he would show Judas by many signs as he dipped the bread into the cup, I am the true bread. You now have an opportunity to accept the true bread. Accept me as the true bread, and even now, as you are about ready to go and send me to crucifixion, as you are about ready to go and betray me, even now I will forgive you. Believe in the true bread. Judas makes a show of believing in the true bread. As many a priest, says Bishop Sheen, makes a show of believing in Christ. He touches the true bread every day with his hands. He comes into close contact with Jesus Christ at the altar. And though he touches the bread every day, his hands touch the hands of Christ. His hands touch the bread. He eats of the bread. But he is an enemy. And he is preparing for the betrayal of Jesus Christ. St. John Chrysostom would warn of the number of the priests that would be damned. Every day coming into contact with the true bread. And yet Christ does not hold back from this contact. He continues to touch Judas. He continues to let him eat of the bread. He continues to share the bread. He continues to show charity to him. He shows by so many signs that he is even now willing to take Judas back. And if we look at the number of graces that Judas is receiving here at the Last Supper, there are an infinite number of graces. He will even warn of hell. This night one of you is going to betray me. And it would be far better that this man had not been born. We know that there is hell. We know that we have to stay away from that place. We know that we cannot betray Jesus Christ. We know we must stay in contact with him. And we touch his hands, we touch his bread. But does this keep us from betrayal? Know this, says St. John Chrysostom, because you touch his hands, because you touch his bread, because you receive him in your heart, because you receive him on your lips, and because you speak his name, it does not mean that your heart is united to him. How often do we deceive ourselves and others? Judas was at the Last Supper. Judas said his words. Judas seemed faithful. Judas was about his work. But it was night. It is only in relation to Judas. When he goes out from the Last Supper, it will say in the Gospel of St. John, and it was night. It was night inside of the soul of Judas. It was night in the world. It was night because Christ was dead. He was dead in the heart of Judas. We will see that at 3 p.m. on Good Friday, when Christ himself dies, it shall also be night. For there is no day without the life of Jesus Christ. He is the light. There is no other light. Judas has finally stuffed out the light. And at each moment of the Last Supper, Christ communicates with the other apostles, but as long as Judas is there, his primary communication is with Judas. Judas, come back. Even now, the love of my heart reaches out to you. Even now, it wants you to come back. He touches the bread. He touches the hands. St. Paul would say, I received a stigma, and I prayed the Lord 3 times that he might take it away from me. And the Lord said, no, my grace is sufficient for thee, for grace is made perfect in infirmity. It would not needs be that I preach to others and find myself to be damned. And so through this infirmity, through these scallops, through these weaknesses, I will find my salvation. Judas has no weaknesses. Judas is in charge of the money. Judas understands the truth of Christ. He knows what things are worth. This could have been sold and given to the poor for 300 denarii, he says on Wednesday of Holy Week. You could have taken your chances, you could have taken the opportunity to go and become king, but you didn't do it. He knows the answers. He understands the truth. He knows the gospel, or at least he thinks he does. He is secure in himself. He does not know that he is one step away from eternal despair. Christ speaks with a heavy heart. He offers the first holy sacrifice of the Mass. His body and his blood and his soul and his divinity is made to come into the bread. With his own hands, he gives this bread, which is his own body and blood, into the mouth of Judas. Now do you understand, Judas, why it is so important to eat my flesh and drink my blood? And St. Paul, who must have spoken to Christ much about this time when Christ gave the Eucharist to Judas. St. Paul, remember, spent 3.5 years reliving the entirety of Christ's life on this earth, reliving it moment for moment, just himself and Christ alone. And he must have communicated much with Christ about these moments. When he says, when a man eats the bread of life unworthily, let him eat. But let him know that he heaps coals of fire upon his own head. Here we are in the presence of the divine love. And the Sacred Heart is showing itself in its greatest love and power and majesty to his apostles, and one of them is heaping coals of fire upon his own head. And with a cool face, he does not show that he is being burnt. He acts pious. He acts holy. He acts faithful. He is confident that he will not be found out. And when our Lord says, this night one of you shall betray me, 10 of those apostles say, is it I, Lord? Is it I, Lord? Is it I, Lord? They realize no one is secure in the presence of divinity. And no one is innocent in the presence of God. And yet Judas, he believes that he is innocent. He has justified himself. Peter knows that he is not innocent, but he misunderstands the love of God. And Judas then, at the end of the celebration of the Mass, he gets ready to go out. what thou must do, do quickly. And they thought that he was going to give alms to the poor, that he was going to prepare for the feast. He was going to do some social work. He was going to build churches. He was going to administer to the poor. When in fact, he was going to betray Christ and he was going to administer to the rich. It was to the wealthy that he would go. It was to the temple treasury that he would go. There he would receive 30 pieces of silver. And he would gather a mob. And he would bring this mob to bring Christ to death. The priest of God. He can only be brought to death by his own. Those who know his inner secrets. But though Judas believes that he knows the inner secrets of Jesus Christ, he does not know them all. He knows the 12 articles of the Creed. He has just attended the first Mass. He was not impressed. He was just ordained to the priesthood and to the episcopate. It didn't seem that great. It wasn't worth the 30 pieces of silver that he could get from the temple treasury for only a few hours worth of work to bring them to the secret place where Christ used to pray. He knew the secret place, which was the Garden of Gethsemane. He would bring them to the secret place. He would make sure that they chose the right man. He would do his work. He would not change his mind. Then he would enter into the full awareness of the depths of despair. But Bishop Sheen says, he was already in despair when he walked out of the supper. When he heard Christ say, "What thou must do, do quickly." He was already in despair, for it was night. His soul was committed to damnation. He would not turn back. And yet he was perceived as being innocent. He could have repented before the apostles. He could have repented before Christ. Christ would have forgiven him. But he will not turn to forgiveness. Judas goes to do his work. Now once Judas has left the supper, our Lord then changes his conversation. He had a heavy heart. Now his heart becomes filled with joy. And he will speak of his divine love. He will speak more intimately as he is surrounded by his friends. He is building up strength for that sacred moment when he is going to go to death. And so he will speak to his friends. "It is only a short time that I am with you, my children. A little while and you shall see me. A little while you shall not see me because I go to the Father. And you shall be sorrowful, but the world shall rejoice. And again a little while, you shall see me again, and you shall be joyful, and your joy no man shall take from you. A little while and we shall not see you," says St. Peter. "Lord, whither dost thou go? Where are you going?" "The place where I am going you cannot reach now, but you will reach it hereafter. Lord, I am ready to follow you now. I am ready to go and give my life for thee," says St. Peter. "Tell me where you're going, I'm ready to go, even if I have to give my life." "Art thou ready to give thy life for me? Behold, before the cock crows twice, thou shalt deny me three times." "You cannot yet go where I am. For you do not understand where I am going. I go to the Father. There is only one way to go to the Father. And that is through the cross. Only one way to come to He who is the author of life, and the creator of life, and sustainer of life. And that is only through death. Not the death of others, but the death of self. And there is only one mystery that can connect us to the Father. And that is love. You have not yet learned love, Peter. You do not yet know it. Lord, if any one of these others to betray you, I never will. Because I really love you. I am ready to die for you. Peter, you do not know yet love. For there is another kind of love which the Father gives and which the Holy Ghost is. And that is the love of the divine fire of the Holy Ghost. And that fire consumes and that fire destroys. But it does not just consume and it does not destroy others. It destroys oneself. It burns oneself up so that there is nothing left. Nothing left of self. All that is left is God. For the divine love is gold, and there is no gold that is pure unless it is fire tried. No one is connected to the Father except through love. No love comes without fire, without the giving of oneself. And when He speaks of this love, before He even speaks of it correctly, He says, I am filled with joy. And when Christ communicates this joy, it will be a kind of joy that the apostles have not seen in Him before. There is a great joy that He has. And I have willed that my joy be given to you, and that your joy may be filled. It is not yet given to you. Philip will say, Behold, now thou speakest plainly. Behold, now we believe that thou art the Son of God. Now we understand. Now we are in the height of joy. This is a great supper. For we have received your Holy Eucharist. We have received the priesthood. We are surrounded by the one whom we love. Now we know what joy is. And our Lord Jesus Christ will say, No, you have only human joy. The joy that I am going to give you cannot be taken away. And the joy that I am going to give you is not for part of your soul. It fills it. I have joy now that I may give this joy to you, for because I am going to the Father. And here Christ speaks about going to His Father. He is finally ready to arrive at that hour when He will be obedient to His Father. Note how He does not yet speak of sin in the world. He will in a few moments. But when He contemplates that hour, the hour of proving His love for His Father, and the hour of proving His love for man, My delight is to be with the sons of men, He says in sacred scripture in the book of wisdom. But where does He delight? We will see Christ's delight only upon the cross. We will understand His joy only after He has cried out with a loud voice and given up the ghost. I sing to my Father, says in sacred scripture. Where does Christ sing? He sings when He cries out with a loud voice upon the cross. He is preparing to sing the most beautiful of all songs. The Canticum Novum, says Saint Bonaventure. I am going to sing a new canticle. One that the world has never heard before. The Canticum Novum that I am going to sing. And this new canticle is the canticle of the love of Christ for us. And He sings it. And we will hear the beauty of his voice when he says those seven last words. Canticum Novum. He is getting ready to go to the church to sing. And the church will be up on the rock of Calvary. He is filled with great joy, for he sees that though the apostles that are his enemies now, though they do not understand, they will understand, and they will be filled with joy. And when he sees that all 11 of these apostles that are around him are going to be his children, they are going to be with him in heaven for all eternity, it is worth it. It is worth it to go to the mystery of the cross. He is already beginning to waver in his human spirit. We will consider in the Mass how he begins to waver a little more. But he is beginning to waver in his human spirit. But he looks at those apostles. They do not understand his love. They do not understand what is happening at this altar. They are all going to betray him. And yet he knows in the end they will come back. In the end, the Holy Ghost will do his work. In the end, they will be speakers of the Holy Ghost, and they will spread the fire of the Holy Ghost throughout the entire world. Once the fire is enkindled in their own hearts. But they do not yet understand the importance of the fire being enkindled in our own hearts. For it is only when the fire is enkindled in my heart that it can be spread to others. It is the divine way. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He then talks to his apostles. I am the true vine, and you are the branches. It is only the vine that bears fruit. But the branches, their only thing that matters to the branches is that they stay connected to the vine. And if they are connected to the vine, and if they firmly root themselves into the vine, then there shall be fruit. The fruit shall not be the fruit of the branches, it shall be the fruit of the vine. And what is that fruit? I am the vine and you are the branches. The fruit is the precious blood. The fruit is the body and the blood and the soul and the divinity of Jesus Christ. What is the real priesthood? The real priesthood is that mystery by which poor human flesh stands at the altar of God and brings down God the Son to the altar, body, blood, and soul, and divinity. And that rotting flesh then picks up that body, that blood, that soul, and that divinity and carries it to the communion rail and gives it to souls. He carries it to the pulpit and gives it to souls. He walks through the world and gives it to souls. There is only one fruit, and that is the grape that is Jesus Christ. There is no other fruit. As we mentioned before, like the woman of the Samaritan woman said, I have never spoken to him, for he has not said a word to me. But every day I see him walk by my house, and I know that he is a man of God. It is Christ that makes us different. And without Christ, we cannot be of any benefit to souls. And it is He alone that gives the benefit to souls. He alone that receives the glory. And His glory is received upon that cross. He is lifted up because He wishes to be glorified. And He speaks of His glorification during this supper. He speaks of his divine love. He speaks of the vine. And the vine is his blood. And the vine is himself. And the apostles do not understand these words. But John listens carefully. And later on he will meditate upon them and meditate upon them. And they will be the meditation of his life. We must be the vine, the branches that attach ourselves to Jesus Christ. I am the vine, you are the branches. And so he speaks of the great love that must burn inside of his apostles. And then he gives the mandatum novum that we mentioned last night. And now I give you a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is my commandment, that you should love one another as I have loved you. And this is the greatest love that a man can show, that he should lay down his life for his friends. He is getting ready to lay down his life. No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord, he says. But who will be the ones to bring him to death? They will not be the cause. They will only be the occasion. And that's the mob. The mob comes with swords and with clubs. As he speaks, the mob is being prepared. Our Lord himself is preparing to go out of the supper with his apostles and to walk in a communication of the love of friends. He will say in the next few verses, Iam non dicam vos servos sed amicos. I now no longer call you slaves and servants, but friends. For now I am your equal. How is it that God becomes the equal of man? For friends, says St. Augustine, it is not possible for anyone who is not equal to be a friend. A man cannot be a friend to his father. We can only be friend with those with whom we are on a perfectly equal footing. How can we be on an equal footing with God? The only way is if he takes on our characteristics, since we cannot take on his. He takes on flesh. He takes on suffering. He takes on guilt. He was made sin for us, says St. Paul. He has committed himself to go to the garden of suffering, though they don't know that that's what it is. He has committed himself to the second, to the third, to the fourth, and to the fifth crucifixion. He's already undergone the first in an unbloody manner. The next four will be bloody. There is great rejoicing as he goes out of that upper room. And there is great love. He is no different than any other man when he is aware of the fact that he is coming to his own death. When we know that we are coming to our own death, we want to say our most sacred words. We want to express what is going on in the most bottommost portion of our hearts. And so it is with Jesus Christ. He too wants to express what is going on in the bottommost part of his heart. And so he speaks how he would not only be the vine, but he is consumed by us. He loves us so much that he wants to be in every single part of our being, not only in our souls, but in our bodies, in our passions. He would complain to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, as I've mentioned to you before, Margaret Mary, you haven't given me everything. Lord, what have I not given to you? I have given you all my thoughts, all of my words, all of my actions, everything, all of my merits. I have given them all to you. Margaret, you have not given me your sins. I want all of you, even your sins. There is no greater delight that can ever be found in the life of a priest than to hear the sins that are being taken away. Here Christ shows the perfection of his love. Inside of the confessional, we see the perfection of his love. He does not only want our good actions, he especially wants our sins. And so we bring our sins to him because of his infinite love. He washes the feet of his apostles. He would not have anyone else do it. He is the one who says the words, ego te absolvo, I absolve you from your sins. Christ is present in the confessional. In the same way that he is present on the altar, when the priest says, this is my body, this is my blood. It is the body and the blood and the soul and the divinity of God, the Son made man that comes into the host. And there is not a drop of the bread left. And so when the priest in the confessional says, ego te absolvo, they are not his words. There is not a drop of the man there. It is only Jesus Christ speaking. When you hear those words in the confessional, hear only Jesus Christ. And that's why it doesn't matter to which priest you go to confession. It is irrelevant. For there is only one who is there. And that is he who is filled with infinite love. And he who wants to be close to us. And he who has called us friends. And he only calls us friends when he was made guilt. And he took sin unto himself. And he speaks about this equality between God and man. How can there be equality between God and man? It is impossible unless he is made sin. He showed that equal love to Judas. Touching him. Giving him the bread. Giving him every opportunity to return to the divine love. And Judas spurned it. Let us not make the mistake of Judas. The other apostles were not worse than Judas in that they too would abandon him. And yet he was not afraid to be around those 11 enemies